It's time now for America in the Balance. Brought to you by Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. And now your co-hosts, Amanda Teagarden and Don Wyatt.
And welcome, freedom-loving Oklahomans, to another hour of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is one of your hosts, Amanda Teagarden, in studio with Don Wyatt.
Glad to be here. I was studying Genesis to get an update and a refresher on the dimensions and architecture of the ark. We've really caught up on our rain a little bit.
Are you saying it's raining a little bit around here?
It's great.
We really needed it. We're broadcasting from the city of Tulsa in the great state of Oklahoma. And like a lot in the Midwest, we're experiencing a lot of rain. And it's welcome, but it's a lot all at once. And I sound like my dad, I talked to my dad on the way in here today, and he said he had 5 inches in his little rain gauge in the backyard.
That's a lot of rain.
In a night and a half.
That's a lot of rain.
Anyway, we are broadcasting from Oklahoma, as I mentioned, and we're both of OK Safe. That's Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. Our website is ok-safe.com. That's ok-safe.com. And we have a new website, which is exposinghealthcarereform.com. That's a work in progress, but there is a lot of information that's there now available. And Don, you've got a website.
We do. We're working on a web. Well, it's up and live, called boondoggleblog.com. Just like it sounds, boondoggleblog.com.
And give the definition of a boondoggle.
On the side of my car, I have a little advertising that says a boondoggle means useless work paid for with public money.
Gosh, is there a lot of that?
Every place we look.
Everywhere you look. And you're really focusing in on city government or county government.
We've been paying a lot more attention to local, some state, and of course always national, but mostly local, the county government in particular.
And when you say we, you're with Tulsa 912 Project.
We are, and we've spawned off a little permanent subcommittee there called the Tulsa Taxes Task Force.
I'm not going to try to say that.
You have to say it real slow and carefully, I've learned. But we're doing a lot of citizen activism projects and through that group in Tulsa 912.
Well, that's a great effort. And I know that there's a lot going on in Tulsa, especially with the new trash program.
That's right.
Which everybody is slowly finding out is really like a little Soviet that we've created here in the county of Tulsa, or city of Tulsa.
Once again, an unelected entity.
I heard today that you have to have a particular bag, trash bag, that's in there, and stickers to indicate your bags on the outside for some reason.
And RFID chips, and it just goes on and on.
And the can has to be a certain precise distance from the end of your driveway. It's like, when do we click our heels and raise our right hand and wear our brown shirts?
There you go.
But it's for our good. We have a special guest, two special guests today, and they're actually in studio with us. I just dropped the card. Anyway, we're very delighted to hear. OK Safe is made up of a lot of people in the state of Oklahoma. We never ask them to tell us if they're pro-life, but that's who it is. Pro-life and Christians, who are those who got off the pew and got actively engaged and say, time is short for this country. And this time, and if we don't repent as a people and get engaged and get those Christians going, we've lost this republic.
We have.
Deservedly so. And so we've always encouraged Christians to get off the pew and get engaged. And we have two guests today who are just those kinds of people who have gotten off the pew and actively engaged. And the issue that they're engaged in is the pro-life effort in this country. And Don, we both know how long this has been going on since Roe v. Wade was... the catastrophe called Roe v. Wade,
right.
And the associated moral decline or parallel moral decline happening in this country.
Yep.
I'm a born-again Christian. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't go back to the way I used to think and way I used to believe, because that's the path to death.
It is.
Spiritual and physical. But we've got two guests today. One is Bill Darr, who is a guest who's a host with his wife, Ruth, on Dividing Line right here on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. And, Bill, you're here?
I am here. Glad to be here.
You have a great voice, Bill.
Well, you might
be a host or something on a radio show. Oh, you are.
Oh, you are.
You are. Bill Darr is our guest today, and he's a 21-year veteran of the pro-life effort. And he and his wife, Ruth, do great work in the city of Tulsa and often travel this country to join in other pro-life efforts. Our other guest today is a gentleman named Dan Skirbitz, who is an advocate for the life, a longtime advocate for life, and he is with the Personhood Oklahoma effort. Hello, Dan.
Thank you, Amanda and Don. It's great to be here.
So we have Bill Darr and Dan Skirbitz, and our subject today is the Personhood Amendment in the city in the state of Oklahoma, and the nationwide effort of personhood, and we'll just get right to it. And today's topic, I've got some notes here, and his life is the most important issue facing us today. Unfortunately, Don, the pro-life movement has become so politicized that it is hard to tell the truth from fiction.
Yeah, that's right.
Just what does being pro-life mean? I always assume that if we elect Republicans, that means you're pro-life, right?
Not so much.
Not so much. not a guarantee. So our discussion today is going to be about what is the Personhood Amendment, who is resisting the amendment effort in Oklahoma, how is the Personhood Amendment different than all those so-called pro-life bills? And we're going to listen to both Bill Darr and Dan Skirbitz discuss this all-important topic. And Dan, we'll start with you. Would you please introduce yourself and give our listeners a web address or any way to contact you?
Yes, I'm representing Personhood Oklahoma, which is the Oklahoma affiliate of Personhood USA. Our website, personhoodoklahoma.com. We've got a great Facebook page, too, if you care to follow along and comment and add your insight and get real-time updates about what's going on. And we're the ones sponsoring the constitutional amendment here in Oklahoma, and right now we're doing a petition drive, and we're hoping to put it on the ballot in November.
Is there also a website for the National Personhood
group? Yeah, personhoodusa.com.
Okay. Thanks.
I want to clarify it for our listeners that when you say constitution, you mean the state constitution.
Right.
Not a U.S. constitutional amendment.
We are working in Oklahoma through initiative petition, to put on the Oklahoma general election ballot a constitutional amendment to our state constitution.
To the state constitution. And Bill, you are helping with this effort.
Well, absolutely, and it's a joy, and I am so thrilled about finally getting going with personhood here in Oklahoma. I'm very much aware of it in other states, have been involved in some of those, the most recent in Mississippi, and it's a joy to do something right and to make a decisive move, to give the people of this state an opportunity to make a decisive move.
So this is definitely not a brand new idea, and we're not the first state to be involved, and so that's important for everyone to know and understand.
Yes, exactly right, Don. And really, the human life amendment idea dates back to right after Roe v. Wade in 73. One of the very first amendments we saw at the national level was by Representative Lawrence Hogan, and his language that he proposed as an amendment to the U.S. Constitution reads almost exactly like our language that we're doing here in Oklahoma. So this idea is not new. It just kind of got forgotten and has been revisited here recently.
All right. Don, you can ask this.
I will be I'm sorry.
That's all right.
My brain wandered. Please forgive. Help us out with this, guys. What does being pro-life mean when somebody says they're pro-life, and what organizations are typically associated with the pro-life movement in both the U.S. and here in Oklahoma?
Pro-life means recognizing that human life is created in God's image and is therefore endowed with certain unalienable rights that government serves to protect. Any person or group who recognizes that truth must also extend that same value and protection to the life of the unborn. So that's what being pro-life is. Anyone who denies special creation and the value of human life would be not pro-life. And those are our opponents, pro-abortion folks. And so they look at an unborn human life as something like a cancerous tumor, a bad tooth, or a polyp that needs to be removed or excised. I mean, it's
ugly,
it's nothing
wart
more
of some
than
kind,
tissue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Zygote is the term I heard on the floor of the Senate recently.
Yeah, actually, if you study biology, you get kind of familiar with that term, so they have even less complementary or neutral kinds of terms that I've heard used.
It almost
well.
Puts you on a level with plants.
Yeah, yeah.
Plant forms.
Right, that's right. Who are the organizations that, of those that are opposed, who help us understand how to identify them? Or one of the things that I think a lot of people would experience, I know I have, you think you're dealing with a pro-life group. They certainly seem like they ought to be pro-life folks, and you'd find out that they maybe really aren't.
Well, certainly, and, you know, we recognize that being pro-life is such a fundamental idea to so many people that so many people are pro-life. And there are a lot of national organizations that are pro-life, grassroots, local, church, religious. Our opposition, as we look at it, would be people who are pro-abortion or who do not recognize the God-given value of human life.
Are those easier to spot, though? What I'm fishing for are... you can probably tell the lambs from the wolves, but how about the wolves that are wrapped up in lamb's cloth or clothing?
Well, I'll answer that this way. As we go about gathering signatures, we run into basically four kinds of people here in Oklahoma. The first, you're going to find most people are pro-life here in Oklahoma.
Okay.
They'll sign the petition. They hear it's pro-life. They'll be happy to. They'll ask a few questions maybe, but by and large, they want to support it.
Right.
The next group are going to be people who are pro-choice. Mm-hmm. So they're immediately not going to respond and not want to hear about it and not support it.
Right.
The next group of people, the third group that I would run into, are what I would call fearful pro-lifers.
Okay.
Or pro-life but don't want anybody to know it, so they're not going to sign anything.
Okay.
Or not be in support of any real effort to do anything about it.
Secretive.
Yes, I call them fearful pro-lifers.
I like that.
And then we have the partial pro-lifers. They're pro-life, but they look for exceptions. And one of the biggest ones we see is with IVF. They want to reserve the right to destroy human embryos, and they are very pro-life. I've been just shocked and amazed at some of the Christians that I talk to who are very, very staunchly pro-life, but they are deathly afraid of anything happening to IVF.
Give our listeners the definition of IVF.
In vitro fertilization.
All right. So you're saying that there are categories of people that are for in vitro fertilization that are afraid of a pro-life amendment?
They are afraid of our amendment because they feel like it'll shut down the IVF industry. And I talked to a man here in Tulsa who publishes a very well-known Christian magazine. And he told me, I look at my children and grandchildren who are the result of IVF, and I cannot support personhood because it might harm the IVF industry.
See, I think that is really a total misunderstanding of that handled properly. Any good work should be managed. It should be managed properly. And IVF, like anything else, you need to be responsible with fertilized eggs. That's really what it gets down to. And there's precisely no reason why that cannot and should not be handled properly. So I think that's a real mistake. I have also heard that, Dan. But
is that a scare tactic that's being
promulgated? Oh, absolutely. Many, some well-meaning, some not so well-meaning, will use that. And I do think in Oklahoma, from early conversations, I think that's going to be one of the strategies to try to kind of demonize based on in vitro.
Could you read, Dan, do you have a copy of the actual initiative petition? What is the language that you're wishing to insert into the Oklahoma Constitution? And what title of law are we amending?
We're trying to amend Article 2
of
the Oklahoma Constitution. And we want to add the following language. A person, as referred to in Article 2, Section 2 of this Constitution, shall be defined as any human being from the beginning of the biological development of that human being to natural death. The inherent rights of such persons shall not be denied without due process of law, and no person as defined herein shall be denied equal protection under the law due to age, place of residence, or medical condition.
And has this been approved by the Attorney General?
Well, that is just breaking news as we speak. Scott Pruitt, our Attorney General, has just certified our ballot title, and we are very, very pleased with the language that he has written. I did not have the opportunity to speak to him at all about our efforts at any time, and I still haven't, but I'm so glad. Let me read to you what he says will be the effects. Now, the ballot title is so important because it's what people read when they step into the privacy of that ballot booth.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's what makes them make up their mind about voting yes or no. And if there's anything in there that gives them pause, even though they're pro-life, they will not vote for it.
Right.
And so this is, we believe this is the key, one of the great keys to the vote. Here's what he wrote. The section defines a person, which provides all persons with the inherent right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The measure defines person as any human being from the beginning of biological development to natural death. Biological development of a human being begins at fertilization. I could not have said that better myself. Scott Pruitt captured the essence of our position. He goes on to say
that's
the measure...
That's gratifying, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I owe Scott a big steak dinner. But he goes on to say, the measure vests state constitutional inherent rights, including rights to equal protection regardless of age, place, or residence, to persons as defined by this measure. The measure thus generally prohibits abortion. Mm-hmm. And that is true. That is one of the intended effects of our proposal.
Right. Well, what I think this is going to do is actually separate, as you mentioned earlier, Don, the lambs from the goats.
Yeah. Or wolves.
Or wolves. The sheep from the goats.
That's there you
it.
Go.
It's sheep from the goats, but it's the lamb from the wolves. It is going to be where the rubber meets the road. This is very clearly either you're for abortion or you're against abortion, and abortion happens in a lot of ways.
Right.
And, Bill, you've already touched on it, is the proper management of a human being from the point of their conception. And that they have unalienable rights. That's how we've learned to pronounce
right.
it, unalienable rights.
Right.
And so, Bill, are you happy with this proposed ballot language?
Well, I am. I am very much. And I tell you, I think to go back just a bit what we're talking about, if you will, the two camps, I think what you're seeing is the camp that buys into incrementalism. And they're the ones that are running scared, wringing their hands and all that. As I told a rather prominent leader in the state of Oklahoma in that camp recently, you know, I said, the question is, how's it working for us? In almost 40 years, folks, we have slaughtered between 55 and 60 million children.
Right.
So they seem to be worried. It kind of reminds you of the situation back in Exodus, I believe it's chapter 5, when Moses and Aaron had gone to the Pharaoh and said, set our people free. We want to go worship our God. And the Pharaoh got so angry that he said, well, I'm not only going to set you free, but I'm going to take the straw that we've been supplying to
make
you.
Make you work harder.
Yeah. So it's like they say, well, goodness, if we wake these people up, they're going to spend all this money and everything. I mean, my response is, anything worthwhile, the enemy, of course, is going to come after you. Let's give them a reason. We've got a winning proposition here. It's called absolutism. You know, stop the killing.
Now, this is not the first time that the personhood effort has been introduced in the state of Oklahoma. In 2011, there was a bill that was the personhood bill, a piece of legislation. And I think, I can't remember the bill number, but it was run by Representative Gus Blackwell, who is from the panhandle of Oklahoma and happens right. to be a pastor. And it defined a person as being a human, as being from the moment of fertilization, from the point of conception, and giving that person unalienable rights as the rest of us are guaranteed. And that's all it said. And you would not believe who came out of the woodwork to stop that personhood bill. And it was the pro-life movement in the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And they went to Representative Gus Blackwell, as he tells the story, to pull that bill. And when Representative Blackwell declined and said, I'm not going to, an alternative method was devised to prevent the bill from ever being heard in the Senate. So what happened is that particular bill, that personhood bill, was allowed to have a vote on the House, who was smarting from the exchange whipping that they'd been getting, that said, okay, we'll get brownie points for passing personhood bill, but we have an agreement that it will not be heard in the Senate.
Right.
So that's the game that was played by the pro-life, quote-unquote, existing pro-life movement in the state of Oklahoma to stop personhood in 2011. So now here we are in 2012, personhood's back, and there's another personhood bill. Only guess what? There's no personhood defined. The person is not defined in the bill, and the bill does nothing except suck the air out of the room.
Amanda, the way I look at legislation versus a constitutional amendment is the same battle we're fighting with marriage. Marriage, states where they have a constitutional amendment protecting marriage are not subject to the whims of an activist court or activist legislators to push it through some other way.
Right.
We need an amendment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is the way to do it. And by the way, it's interesting. I just went back and pulled my Constitution Declaration of Independence out the last couple of days, and what wonderful documents.
Agreed.
Man, are we... No wonder this country's been so blessed.
We
so
are
much
blessed.
Wisdom.
That's right.
The last part of Amendment Number 1 says to petition the government for redress of grievances. Well, that's precisely what we're doing with this initiative petition. We have three killing centers in this state, one here in Tulsa, one in Norman, and one in Oklahoma City. So we, the people of the state, and we have the authority to do it, we're addressing the government of this state, and that's the reason we're passing the initiative petition. We got to get 156,000 valid signatures,
right.
And we, the people, will take the government back to the leadership, and that's the way it's supposed to be, because we're the ones that have the authority. And by the way, another thing that I spent a little time on was looking at the Oklahoma Constitution, which is essentially patterned after the U.S. Constitution. And
a little fatter.
Well, that's true. You know what? When you're trying to say less, you say more. I think so. Use more words, right? I've heard that saying at least. So, we have the authority to do that. And we pray that the people of this state, the good people, the Christian people of this state, I understand abortionists probably not going to vote for this, but I can't imagine why any Christian wouldn't vote for it and lead teams to get signatures and then be ready to go this November.
And you're finding that, aren't you?
Pretty much. I tell you what I have found is maybe it's the salesman in me, but if you can get face-to-face with a pastor or anybody almost, if you have enough time, they will buy into it and will begin to circulate these petitions. And I would say just my wife and I would imagine we have gotten 1,000 signatures already.
Oh, good for you.
In last few days.
An initiative petition in the state of Oklahoma, you have 90 days to collect these signatures.
Yeah.
And like you said, they have to be valid signatures.
Yes.
So who can sign this? A visitor to Oklahoma?
No. They must be a registered voter. And by the way,
in the state of Oklahoma, not New York.
Right. State of Oklahoma. If somebody has slipped up and is not registered, they have time to register within this window, and still then they can sign the petition. So that's something to think about. But
and
it has to be a valid registered voter.
And there are you have a very well-organized effort, and we're several months leading up to this, reaching out to churches in Tulsa area and outside of Tulsa.
Yes.
To get those churches. And how many churches were on board with this effort?
Oh, my.
Hundreds,
Dan, you may know better than me.
Well over 400.
Over 400.
And we have mailed out over 13,000 individuals called and requested packets, and we mailed those out. We also mailed out voter registration cards in case.
Yeah, sure.
So please call us, go to our website, email us, we'll get you the forms. You know, we need every signature. And if you get a form and just put your signature, that's good. We want it. Send it back to us or fill it up.
Now, when you say registered, they don't have to register for a particular party. They could be Republicans, Democrats, or Independents.
Yes.
Any party. And in the state of Oklahoma, we're kind of unique in that even though there was a majority registered Democrat, the state votes red for pro-life because it's a pro-life state. So this is not associated with a particular party at all.
It's not in the state of Oklahoma.
It is a life issue.
That is right.
Yes, it is.
We've only got about a minute before we have to go. We finish this first
segment.
Yeah. First segment. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. This first segment on America in the Balance on Truth and Focus Internet Radio. When we come back, both Dan and Bill, I do want to talk about Roe v. Wade and what the legal arguments are in that actual Supreme Court decision. This is Amanda Teagarden with Don Wyatt on America in the Balance. Stick around for the second half of our show.
The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio at truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio at truthinfocus.org.
And welcome back to the second half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. And I don't know about you, Don, but I'm hearing like champagne bubbles popping or something.
I heard that. I don't think it was me.
I don't think it's him. Every once in a while, we're hearing a little pop on here, and I'm wondering if it's the microphones. Is it a computer? Okay, all right.
Oh, the computer.
Ignore the pop sound.
Always a computer.
All right. Well, when we...
Great choice of music, by the way.
That's thank you.
First Vivaldi we've had since I've been co-hosting, I think.
We'll go back to the rock and roll stuff after our pro-life guests are gone. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It is spring, and that's called Spring by Vivaldi,
that's great.
Appropriate for today because we're really enjoying spring. Which is kind of continuation of the summer, the winter we had. All right, we're continuing our discussion with Dan Skirbitz and Bill Darr, and the issue is the personhood amendment effort in the state of Oklahoma, and there is pushback, and these two gentlemen are being very polite about it, but they're being pushback is from the well-known pro-life organization in the state of Oklahoma, who I believe in some way wants to hold on to the turf that they've taken the land, you know, it's a stronghold.
Yeah.
And they don't want to give it over to somebody that they think might be the stomping on their turf, because this is almost guaranteed a 25% return on returning Republicans to elected office on one issue.
That's right.
Called pro-life. And by golly, as Bill mentioned before, we're actually no further ahead than when Roe v. Wade was started, except we do have better ways to count dead babies.
Yeah, I've heard you say that before. And I don't mean to
be so blunt, but that's about what it is. We haven't gotten anywhere.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is paralleling the moral decline in this country, and this has always been a moral issue.
Yes.
Because nobody's being forced to go in to have an abortion to begin with, all right? And so we can end this right now by the will of the people if you just decide to follow God's word and not go in the doors to begin with.
That's true.
And I say that as somebody who used to be pro-choice, and I can tell you that it is a person's own will that decides this, and there are alternatives that are all pro-life and within God's will and way and desire for your life. Now, the existing organization that wants to have have their cake and eat it too, and block the personhood amendment, although they're running a bill with personhood in the title but not person in the bill, has routinely issued these documents that were written by an attorney back in the early 2000s. Is that right, Bill?
Actually, in 2007.
Not too long ago.
Right.
Was this about the time personhood started coming up?
Well, they were addressing, I think primarily and maybe exclusively, the state of Georgia, who was beginning work on a personhood amendment. Absolutely.
Because they were fed up with what was going on?
Sure.
They were tired. The legislative process was not working.
Absolutely was not working, because it's been pointed out, and I think most people know it. The legislature can change something, kind of depends on the whim of what's going on, maybe the breeze of that morning and that kind of thing. And, that should not be. And, for example, we could amend the state constitution and put it on the ballot here legislatively. They could do that.
That's true.
But they have not done that, and I would submit they will not, because if you really put something with teeth, they always amend it at the last minute.
That's
and
right.
Really, you don't even want that to go through. And that's precisely the reason we're doing an initiative petition.
So what are these documents?
Well, this is something I just saw recently that, I hate to say it, is from Oklahoma Eagle Forum. And they've kind of drunk the Kool-Aid, shall we say, of incrementalism. And I tell you, folks, that's really what it gets down to. Their thing is, can we manage child killing versus can we stop it? It's like they're afraid that they might lose something. And as somebody who's been involved for 21 years, and I can tell you the only agenda I have is to serve the Lord and save children. I mean, it's real basic. This is painful to see this kind of thing. And, they are against what we're trying to do, because they want to continue, if you will, let's elect pro-life, conservative legislature, and I'm not against that. If it's one or the other, I always vote the pro-life way. But I can tell you...
If it would have worked, it would have already worked.
Well, that's the whole thing. And it's kind of like the elephant in the room, let's don't talk about it. Electing pro-life legislatures, finally, the people of the state have to stand up. But what you're seeing here is, this was recently put out, and I had a question about it, and they referred back to James Bopp Jr. in National...
Bopp?
B-O-P-P.
B-O-P-P.
And you can look this up, I know, online, and he talked about... some of the unintended consequences of if you pass an amendment and so forth. And it was all based on, we might lose some control. And I love, and then there was a response to that. And this is the Thomas More Law Center, which this group does a lot of good work. I just had some friends very recently, Ken and Joe Scott in Denver, Colorado, and they were charged under the FACE law and frankly doing precisely what I do and my wife does here in Tulsa, and that's providing information to these girls. The enemy does not want that to go out. But the Thomas Law Center represented Ken and Joe, and they won the case and did a great job. But again, you can go online, Thomas More Law Center, Robert J. I guess you pronounce it Muse, M-U-I-S-E, of the Thomas More Law Center. And this was back in 2007, September 2007, and it was right after James Bopp had written all the fear, you know, what might happen here if we try to do anything. And I tell you, everything I see logically, that makes no sense, the James Bopp mindset. And I know spiritually, it certainly makes no sense. And to me, if we're going to err on any side, let's err on the side of obeying God. And God is not real big on maybes and negotiating and what have you. It's thus saith the Lord. And the Sixth Amendment says, thou shalt not murder. That should settle it for any Christian.
Well, we have statutes against murder in the state of Oklahoma, which I think that's the part that's actually scaring people is the existing pro-life is because this could actually cause somebody to be brought to court on charges.
Well, I would say that could happen if somebody, and Dan, you might address this better than me, but to me it's just this simple. If you kill somebody, you've got to face the consequences. I mean, we put murderers in jail.
This is hard for a lot of people to understand. Why would any pro-life group oppose a personhood amendment? And it's hard to explain, but a lot of pro-life groups are against the constitutional amendment. And when I talk to them, one of the things that it boils down to is we are not ready for a challenge to Roe v. Wade because the Supreme Court has not yet been sufficiently stacked with Republican-appointed justices. That's what it all boils down to for them.
Well, wait a minute. Now, there's no guaranteeing what kind of judges you're going to get in the future.
That's right. And what difference does that make in the state anyway?
Well, if our amendment passes, it's going to immediately be challenged, and that's our plan, would be to challenge Roe v. Wade.
Okay.
It would immediately be challenged, and the effect of it would be held until that challenge could go forward to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
We believe that's what would happen.
Okay.
But to say that, prior to Obama's appointments, 7 of the 9 Supreme Court justices were Republican appointed.
yeah.
And we did not have a pro-life Supreme Court, even
sure
though they were
not
majority Republican. So holding out for this vain hope that the Supreme Court is going to somehow be stacked and then we can just sneak in and overturn Roe v. Wade in the dark of night with nobody noticing is a false hope of this pro-life, you know, institution.
If it were to happen, it would be a pleasant surprise. That's what you're saying.
When I hear that argument that we have to wait until they get the Supreme Court stacked with Republican appointed justices, I'm looking at all those arguments where they were talking otherwise, other pieces of legislation. We're going to kick the can down the road.
Yep.
We're not going to. But it also is a way of deferring responsibility or putting responsibility for your own actions today off onto some other entity that nobody can touch or get to or actually see, while maintaining the power of the status quo, which is the rank and file,
right.
The system, the machine that's already been put into place that's called pro-life.
Amanda,
I see that that's just protecting status quo, right?
Yes, and it's worse than that because in the interim, the strategy is regulating abortion. While we're waiting for the Supreme Court to be stacked, we're going to sponsor legislation that restricts or regulates abortion. That is one of the most damaging things I believe that has happened, because every one of those bills that says you have to get an ultrasound or you have to notify the parents or you have to have informed consent, they all end with the same 7 deadly words: and then you can kill the baby.
Yes.
So it serves only to further entrench the right to an abortion in law.
Kind of a good argument, yeah.
That's a great point, Dan. I so agree with that, because the longer you try to manage something, quote-unquote, the longer it goes that you don't make an app. In fact, you're implying, yeah, we'll go along with murder. And it's really stronger than implying. I mean, that's what you're doing.
It's state-approved murder.
Absolutely it is. And when does the time come that the people from the state of Oklahoma that say they're pro-life say, stop it. Stop it.
How can people expect God to bless this country and give us what we want when we have codified into law that it is legal to kill the offspring?
So true. Well, you know, throughout the Bible, God didn't fancy it up quite as much as we do now. He referred to it as child sacrifice. And I can tell you, I have a sign that says child sacrifice because I took it right out of the scriptures. And people don't like that. You know, even abortion doesn't sound quite that bad. Murder sounds worse. Child sacrifice, I mean, boy, that's how do you hide behind that? But that's what the scripture says. They sacrifice their children to Baal and Moloch. You know, I would submit, it grieves my heart as the father of six and the grandfather of nine, that today we are sacrificing our children to maybe convenience, money, all the good. You know, it's sad. We have been blessed with so many wonderful things, but it's like those have become our idols rather than the precious children that are a gift from God. And the man with his quiver full is the most blessed.
When we look around and see the changing demographics in this country and worldwide, not everybody is buying in to the pro-abortion argument. In fact, the people that should be scaring us a little bit, I'm thinking Islam, they're not aborting babies.
True.
They're having them. And this is demographically. If you can't think of it as a pro-life issue, could you begin to look at it demographically of what's happening to Western civilization versus the other cultures that have not embraced killing their own offspring because they know the value of their population and the desire to increase its size. You know, and those aren't Christians.
You know, I would submit you could even take it to something like all of our problems with Social Security, which is much underfunded. When you've killed close to 60 million of your people, and think of how they would have multiplied, they would have been paying into Social Security. See, God does not want you to destroy yourself, but he will allow it. It's called free choice. Right. And that is just one of the ways. Then we've got illegal immigration because jobs go wanting sometimes and things like that. But that's how we destroy ourselves. And I tell you how younger people paying in provide for older people, and that's what it was all set up for. I think now there's, what, only about two paying in for every one recipient.
Yeah.
Dan, you made the comment during the break on Roe v. Wade when we were talking about it, that Roe v. Wade actually does what?
Well, you know, that question was posed as what did Roe v. Wade decide? And Roe v. Wade decided nothing. It was an invented right to an abortion by some activist judges. You know, there was no intention in the Constitution by the framers or implication that that right ever existed.
The right was the right to privacy, though.
Well, that's what they said.
Yeah, that's some of the arguments that we've seen on the write-up or the interpretation of Roe v. Wade was right. That I think it was under the 14th Amendment people had
found two forms of privacy rights.
Two forms of privacy, which I'm all for privacy rights. I think that is
we
that
have
is
an correct. Issue there too. Don't we
mm-hmm. have an issue there with the growing surveillance society and right. the right to your body and right. the mass distribution and, of and your personal health records.
So
everywhere.
Ironically, they discover that we have a right to privacy and they proceed to destroy it.
Well, I've posed this question before. And I guess I haven't said it correctly, but in general, what I'm trying to say is, wouldn't it be ironic if it was Roe v. Wade's decision that we have a right to privacy being the argument that defends our right to keep our personal health records private?
Yeah, it is an irony.
It would be, because that's the same one that they're using to kill babies,
right.
To allow the legal killing of babies, I should say, preborn. children. And so your contention is that it actually did nothing as a
the premise is that the unborn child is nothing more than, you know, property of the mother that can be cut out like a, you know, excised like any, you know, any growth.
Yeah.
And so I guess the privacy and the medical privacy inserted there, you know, allows her to do that. That was their justification. But,
you know, just the emotional part that the women go through, and I know we all have an incredible compassion for somebody that's struggling with a, let's say, an unwanted pregnancy. The sad part about it, destroying that child is not the answer. As I told somebody the other day, to me, when somebody is in that most vulnerable situation, that's the time that we say, time out. Let's talk about it. Put your arms around this girl and her husband or as they say, significant other, whatever. Let's try to help people. And as I tell people down at the abortion clinic, you know, my wife and I are not protesters. We're truth givers because we look at it long term. And we've got friends that they understand the damage of that. And, you know, I think that's the key is to be there when they're really hurting. We had not that long ago, it thrilled my heart, one I guess it was Friday or Saturday morning, I've forgotten now, but a car pulls up in front of me, stops, the lady rolls a window down, there were dark windows. She said, may I show you someone? And she reaches over in this little baby chair and hands this little blonde-haired girl, looks like she's about 18 months old. She said, because you and your wife were here 2 years ago, now I have my little daughter.
Oh, wow.
And that's a great payback. You don't hear that most of the time, you know?
No, you don't.
That gives me goosebumps, and I just think that's wonderful.
That's great, Bill.
You're reminding me of some of the arguments that we heard when we were at the legislature. Some of the Democrats on the floor, a couple of women, which is hard to imagine this, were arguing things that were not at all affected in the bill, this current quote-unquote personhood bill, which is Senate Bill 1433 making its way through the legislative process. By the way, the bill does nothing, so neither side needs to get all up in an uproar because it doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm.
Whether it passes or fails won't change anything.
Passes or fails doesn't do anything. Except, wait a minute. Oh, the author's got an opponent in the Republican primary. I'm sorry, guys. I'm throwing in a little political
a little
reality.
Politics, yeah.
But it does nothing. But some of the arguments out there, what is a woman supposed to do who's been raped? Now, you've been in the pro-life movement for a long time and been outside these abortion clinics, and I can tell you who's going in there is not all rape cases.
No, that would be a rare exception. We all know that does happen. There are a lot of tragedies. There's no question about it. But the answer is to lift the people up and to help them. Maybe it's an adoption situation or whatever. We should have the kindness of Christian people there for these girls.
Yes, we don't punish the baby for the crime of his or her father. And, you know, rape and incest, the perpetrator should be punished, not the child.
Of course.
And that's correct. What percentage of those who seeking abortion are actually the result of rape or incest?
I think the Guttmacher Institute and others, the percentage is very low, 1% to 2%, maybe even less.
Yeah, I think less than 1%.
Yeah.
That's the one that's getting all the attention, though, in the media.
Yeah. I can tell you most of it, I hate to say it, is control the size of the family. Now, that you think that won't break your heart. I mean, you just don't believe the people that drive in, and maybe they even have a child in the back seat. Certainly there will be a baby seat there, and let's say a guy told me not long ago, he was in the service. And, you know, I'm so supportive of those kind of people. And, you know, I thanked him for his service and on. And I said, but sir, why you'd be the last one I would think would come in here. You've seen awful killings. And he said, well, I got two kids and I can't afford three. And I said, you're destroying a gift from God, you know. But as far as I know, he did go through.
Well, the statement that he said, I can't afford three, tells him that he knows that it's a kid.
Oh, of course.
He knows it's a child.
You know what? They do know. There's no need of talking circles around that. Everybody knows. I mean, you know, if you've been through the first grade, even the government school, I think you know it's a child. Yeah. I mean, it's just not very complicated. And that's been totally documented. Back in 73, they were kind of looking for an out, so they, we're not sure and this and that. No, but God has known it forever, of course. He makes it real clear in the scripture. And science certainly certifies that. I don't know of anybody with any validity that would question when life begins.
And that's why the IVF argument is so important. People want to say, well, right at that moment and prior to implanting that embryo, it is not a life. And so they want to use implantation as the starting of the life period. And that's an argument we have to continue making. Human life must be protected at all stages from that moment of its biological beginning. And IVF can be done in such a way that a person's conscience can be protected. There is a right way to do it. We Absolutely. Do not support banning IVF, and our proposal wouldn't do that.
No.
Scott Pruitt affirmed that in writing our ballot title. He also affirmed that our measure does not ban contraception.
Right.
That's one of the other great myths that's out there. Only methods that destroy a human life would be banned, whether those are chemical, medical procedures, any other procedure that would end a human life after it's come into being, that would be banned.
What would that do to the RU486?
That's a chemical abortifacient.
That's right. Yeah.
So
that would be illegal.
That would be illegal. It would be illegal for anyone to conspire, to assist, to commit an abortion through any means.
You may not know the answer to this question, but do you know which pharmaceutical company, or maybe there's several, that makes RU486?
You know, I don't know that, but right here in Oklahoma, at the Norman Abortion Clinic website, Dr. Burns advertises abortions for $550 a piece, cash only, no checks.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm sure he's paying tax on all that now.
Well, at 1.2 million abortions per year, one of the recent estimates by the Guttmacher Institute, that's over $660 million to the abortion industry per year. That's what we're fighting against.
At that rate, if everybody charges that rate.
And we know some are.
Well, that would be on the low side. Yeah, I would say that's kind of the minimum, with no problems very early on, what have you. I've kind of learned that over the years. I've actually seen a few
late-stage abortions earn several thousands of dollars.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
This is an uncomfortable question, Bill. Maybe you know the answer, and maybe you do, Dan. What happens to the aborted babies?
Well, I think a variety of things. I think a lot of them, they're just disposed with any waste. There's no respect. I guess when you would kill a child, maybe you're not going to respect the remains, what have you. I also can tell you that there is huge money made in that industry. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I've actually have a copy of the charge, if you will, for various body parts.
Yeah,
the brain of a child's X number of dollars, you name it.
There was an article circulating widely on Facebook and the internet this week about that, the business of selling aborted baby parts.
Yeah.
Well, they must be getting them from the clinics, wouldn't you say, the abortion clinics? And so what happens? Does a truck pull up at the end of the day or at the end of the weekend?
The FDA authorized it.
The FDA, Food and Drug Administration authorized it.
There are two or three companies that that do that across the country. Quite frankly, pro-life folks have gone to these companies and asked that they stop that service. And in some cases they have, others they've resisted it. I know in Little Rock, Arkansas, we were down there in December, and some of the folks have really become active there. And one of the gentlemen noticed a truck, and I can't remember the details are really not that important, but he saw it going in. So he picks up the telephone, he calls this company, and he said, "Do you realize you're picking up body parts for babies and all, you know, in the trash service and all?" And the guy said, "No, we don't No, we don't understand that at all. Bottom line is, they stopped it. They stopped it real fast. And I'm not sure if they've gotten another service or what, but those are just some things you can do. But, yes, somebody has to do that, and there are companies that do it.
Bill, if someone does find themselves in an uncomfortable position here where it's an unplanned or unscheduled pregnancy, where do you recommend that they go? I know of MEND, yeah. Crisis Pregnancy Center.
The other one, I can't think of the name for a second, Cheryl Bowman, I guess it's pronounced. We've known her for probably at least 30 years. I cannot remember the name of it. She's operates through Christian Chapel.
Hope Crisis Pregnancy?
That's not that one. Hope May, I'm not sure about them. But bottom line is she's got houses available. She has services. Everything's paid for. In fact, that is the typical situation. I can tell you this. We have handouts. I don't happen to have that here. My wife is a lot better with the detail. But we pass this out to any girl who will stop on the way in and let them know that there's a better way. And we're there because we care for you. And so it has a lot of information on adoption, on if you can go to a home if you need that. If you need protection from somebody that's abusing you, that's all available.
Hey, Bill and Dan both, has the personhood amendment already been passed and activated in other states, and if so, which ones? What's its status?
Well, I can tell you this. In September of 2011, the Supreme Court of Mexico upheld the personhood amendment in the state of Baja California, Mexico.
Really?
Personhood is an international movement.
Interesting. I'm glad I asked. I didn't know that.
Yes. We have people working in both Mexico, I know, Portugal, other countries too. But no, in the U.S., a personhood amendment has not passed by vote. Mississippi came close with 46%.
Okay.
And we believe one of the main reasons it lost was because of the title. The ballot title was worded in a biased way against it.
Is it going to be on the ballot this fall in more than one state?
Colorado should have it on. There are other states that are working very hard, Montana, Nevada. Some others, and of course we hope here in Oklahoma after we get our 200,000 signatures.
There you go.
And where, again, give the website where people can download a petition or contact somebody about this.
Yes, you want to help us find out more, personhoodoklahoma.com. And you can download a petition, you can call, email, or write to us to get a petition. It has to be legal size, 14 inches. It has to be the exact right one. But even just one signature, that's what we need. Send it back or fill it up and send it back.
And only registered voters in the state of Oklahoma can sign the petition. And then the petition carrier will transcribe those names to the back of the form, sign it, and they hand it in where?
Send it back to us. Our address is there on the website. It's a P.O. box here in Tulsa. P.O. box 53404, Tulsa 74153. But you'll find all our information. It'll be very easy for you to know what to do. We have instructions. We have a video on the website that explains how to do it. Anybody can do this.
Good. And you need to turn those petitions back in before what date?
By May 28th, by the end of May. We need all
do
of them back.
Do not wait until May 27th.
A little earlier. Yeah.
Do not wait till the end to do that.
Could I just say quickly, I know we're about out of time, we need people. We need volunteers. It's just like anything. That it does not take a lot of skill or I wouldn't be involved. But we need people who will get out in the marketplace. The other thing, any public setting, public sidewalk, what have you, you can get signatures. Some people will, you know, even the police might try to intimidate you. Take it from one who's been there, and I've had to train a few policemen over the years. That's called our Constitution. Thank God we still have it in the First Amendment. So we can do it. So I just challenge all Christians, let's do it. What an opportunity. We may only have this one time. You never know. Let's get it done.
Those are good words to end on. And we thank both Dan Skirbitz and Bill Darr being our special guests today. And Don, what interesting times we live in that we even have to have the argument
That's a good point. It's unfortunate that we even have to talk about it, isn't it?
It is unfortunate, and there's so much misunderstanding. And hopefully this interview helped clarify some of the misconceptions about the personhood amendment and what the intent is and what the hope is. And let's make Oklahoma the first state to successfully pass the personhood amendment and amend our Constitution.
Okay. Lead the way.
This is the end of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is Amanda Teagarden in studio with Don Wyatt, and we both thank you for listening, and may God bless you.